trees. Hello, tree. Adam left.
Love the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Well, good morning out there in Radio Land, as we like to say. To start the show, it is me, Adam Lepp, the Computer Guy, with my twice-weekly excursion into the Mid-Ohio airwaves, right here on the Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and of course, broadcasting online anywhere in the world by the magic and power of the internet at WWGH.com. 1071.com. One of the best ways, in fact, to listen to our station, if you listen online, would be through the TuneIn app, which lets you tune in on your iPhone or Android smartphone for free, except for the cost of electricity and the phone itself and all that good stuff. But that's part of how we do things online. Just go to the App Store, again, for Apple or for Android, look for TuneIn, download it, and then search for WWGH 107.1 in Marion. Make it a favorite, bookmark it, and you can listen too on your smartphone anywhere in the world. In fact, you can also use TuneIn to tune in on your desktop or laptop, but the website's a good way to do that. We have a lot of choices for listening if you're not within about 10 or 15 miles of Marion. And we have listeners all over the world, and we appreciate every single one of you. Thank you. Gracias. Danke. And whatever language you want to use, the language of radio appreciates every single listener. WWGH1071.com. That's the website. And our signal's not too bad. You know, you can get our station in northern Delaware County. You can get it in most of Upper Sandusky, Bucyrus, and of course right here in Marion. So we have a rather large over-the-air, we call that OTA, or terrestrial, always like that word, terrestrial listening area for your enjoyment. Here on the Adam the Computer Guy Show, airing every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 9:13 a.m. and 10 in the a.m., you might ask, well, who is this Adam guy and what exactly do we do? That's a very good question. Well, we get geeky and we talk today's top technology topics, be it about how social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, etc., how they influence what we do in our day-to-day routines, and it seems like they influence almost everything, politics and sports, intermingling, is that a word? Well, we'll make up that word. Intermingling with social media, with computers, with email, with any kind of electronic communication. We take a look at problems that you may have with your home or office computer or tablet or smartphone or what have you. Maybe some of the latest and greatest in software, in games, and even maybe the new smartphones, maybe some of the top websites. And one of the big topics, and not really the most pleasant topic, but it's important, so we cover it because that's how we roll, would be security. Is somebody snooping on your data? You heard me talk about how our president, I call him the President-Donald, how he is now, as far as I'm seeing it, endorsing your internet provider. And here we have Frontier and Roadrunner, or now called Spectrum, whatever they're called. Well, whoever they are, that they now essentially have the right to snoop on your web browsing history and sell that information. And I'm not too happy about that. So those kind of things, security, privacy, the phishing, the hacking, what have you, big topics here on the show. So I mentioned that there is one thing that the President Donald has done, which I am not happy about, and that's how he's allowing, he's endorsing, as far as I'm concerned, an ISP, an internet provider's ability to snoop on you and sell that snooped on information. If you know me, you know that my political beliefs are, some are very left, some are very right. I'm a bit eccentric and a bit of an enigma when it comes to those kind of things, and Don't think that I don't believe that there are things that the Donald does that I agree with. There are actually many things, and I like that he's an outsider. Also said, I find his wife to be very attractive, and that really isn't important to his office, but I think the First Lady's image is good, and there are things about her I don't like. Like, I think she should spend more time in D.C. and less time in New York City on taxpayers' expense, but you can't beat the fact that she's quite a looker. And, you know, I'm of Eastern European descent also, and I see some of her facial features, the cheekbones, the long neck, the dark hair. I see those in me, so maybe I'm just seeing some of myself in her. I'm not sure, but there are things I like about her, things I don't like, and about her husband, the Donald, well, things I like, things I don't like. I guess it's good to form your own beliefs. I don't believe in political parties, so I take a spectrum of beliefs and look at the person. And this certainly has been one of the most intriguing presidents, probably the most intriguing one in my lifetime. So his influence and how he intermingles, as I say, with technology, certainly a big topic. Now, of course, feel free to chime in. Let me know what you think. You know, we're going to talk about a Donald-related and IT-related topic shortly. But if you have an opinion, question, comment, suggestion, you think I'm crazy, whatever you want to talk about, that's fine. Don't be shy. I don't bite. The number here at the station is 740-383-9944. I would love to hear from you. I'd like to welcome a fellow radio person of mine, Skip. And Skip is skipping over the airwaves and listening to my show. It's appreciated. In addition to being a radio person, he's a very talented musician. His father was a country performer. He plays guitar and sings, and I can assure you, much better than I do. And thank you, Skip, for confirming that I am a little, sometimes a screw or two is missing, and I appreciate it because, as I say, normal people are boring, and that makes me very unboring. Also, I'd like to welcome Marcus for listening and watching my video, my live Facebook video. Thank you very much. Hello to you also. Skip and everybody else, if you'd like to call me, I answer questions, comments, concerns. Skip, we can talk politics if you like. I know that's a favorite topic of yours. 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from you. Anyway, as I was saying, if you've heard my previous shows, you are aware that most people in the technology community are not exactly presidents or members of the fan club of the President Donald. They don't like his policies, be it about immigration, about internet privacy, or what have you. I've mentioned how I feel about the internet privacy issue, but there are things about it, I said, the president, that I agree with, and things I'm not totally sure about. I suspect that there are many technology people that are in the closet, so to speak, about their support of Donald. I'm not one to shy away from saying whom I like, whom I don't like, and what I support, what I don't. I would agree that most technology executives are not exactly, again, members of the Donald's fan club. And some are in the closet about being his fan or being a partial fan. Then there are those in the technology community who are not afraid to say that they are Donald supporters. There's a gentleman whose name is Michael Moe. And you might ask, well, who is Michael Moe? Well, he makes no secret that he is a fan of Donald Trump. He co-founded and runs GSV Capital. I've not heard of Michael Moe before I saw this story, so let me tell you who he is. He is behind GSV Capital, and they are an investor in many of the big apps and websites. For example, Facebook, Spotify, Lyft, and Snapchat, which is now a new publicly traded company. In fact, I just recently started using Snapchat, and I do kind of like that you have a conversation, which you can always copy and paste or screen capture, and then it kind of goes away. So some of my younger friends use Snapchat. I'm still more into regular phone texting or Facebook messaging or even AOL or Yahoo messaging, but I don't mind Snapchat. So anyway, this gentleman, Michael Moe, who is a confirmed supporter of the Donald, and he's not afraid to say that. He is a venture capital person with investments in some big places, Spotify, Lyft, Snapchat, and Facebook. Mentioned that Skip, my radio associate and friend out there, he's in Maine. How about that? He is in Maine. That's the state. He lives in one of those tidy houses. Now, Skip is a person of many talents, and handyman and construction person being one of them. Him and his wife are both very handy, from what I seem to gather, as are his kids. And scary enough, he's younger than I am, but he's a grandfather. How about them apples? Well, anyway, Skip has indicated that the President Donald was the lesser of two evils. He doesn't agree with all of his policies, but the other option would have been worse. So we appreciate your opinion, Skip. And yes, again, as it often seems to be the case, I'm hardly ready to join the fan club of either candidate, so we pick which one can we tolerate more. And that's kind of how things go, and I guess that makes the world interesting. Anyway, this gentleman, Michael Moe, might be pronounced Moe, but it's Moe or Moe. Anyway, let's say he's Moe of a supporter of Donald Trump than most of the people in the technology industry, especially those who are executives. He was speaking a few weeks ago at a gathering of technology startups, and he was asked out of the blue, what does he think about the President Donald? That's what I call him. He said, I know 95% of the people in that room did not have my point of view. When I was done, nobody attacked me. And he said, we'll see if the sponsor of the talk asks me back. Michael Moe is 54 years old. And again, he's a rarity in Silicon Valley, where a lot of your technology executives are, for being a Trump voter and Trump supporter. And unlike a lot of the Trump voters and supporters, he's not in the closet. He's not afraid to say that I like the guy. So how about that? Because he's an investor, again, in these big companies, Facebook, Spotify, Lyft, and Snapchat, I'm obviously a man with a lot more money than I have, he has freedom to share his views because he is helping to support these companies. And again, it's America. I'm in favor of free speech, and whatever you say, as long as it's not hate speech, and if you agree with me or don't, I will respect your opinion until the day I go to my grave. He's been approached by people since the election who voted for Trump, but again, are in the closet, who are too afraid to admit it to anybody. In fact, he said some of these fellow Trump supporters wouldn't tell their wife. How about that? He said, I enjoy having conversations with people about why my view is my view. He's also the author of the Global Silicon Valley Handbook. But I think certainly there's not a person in my office who shares my viewpoint. So what do you think? Are you a technology person like I am, like Michael Moe is, or maybe it's Moe, whatever his name is? He is a non-closeted Trump supporter. Not afraid to say it, proud to say it. What do you think? How do you think the tech community feels about the president? As I mentioned, I disagree vehemently with his endorsement of allowing your internet provider to snoop on and sell your browsing history, but there are many things I agree with him on. As I said, I find his wife very beautiful, and I mean, I'm not sure how relevant that is, but again, I'm Eastern European like she is, and so I guess it makes we Eastern Europeans kind of stand out, and I guess that's okay. We're human after all. And again, I like the fact that he's an outsider. We have too many professional politicians, but again, by no means am I ready to become an officer in the president's fan club, but there are things that I find are certainly, if not intriguing, actually are positive. But let me know what you think, and how do you think that the president's interaction and influence and standing with the tech community will change, will evolve? He's only been president for, exactly 3 months. Yes, 3 months as of today. So how do you think it's going to be 3 months later? 740-383-9944. I'd love to hear from you. Skip has confirmed that he is also in disagreement about the Donald's endorsement of allowing your ISP to sell your browsing history. I'm not sure anybody in the tech community would be in favor of that. Skip's been involved in online radio. That's how I met him. Online radio brings people together from all points of the world. And as I see it, what you do on your online station, what you play, what you talk about, that's for the listeners. That's why you listen. And I agree. So, again, that's part of politics. I'm not someone who just jumps on the bandwagon and just supports everything that my chosen candidate says or does. I look at the person. And again, there are candidates that I'm very fond of and some I are very unfond of, and some that I have mixed opinions of. But I guess that's part of the benefits of being an American, the free speech and all the different interactions that we encounter every day. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice weekly radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH1071.com, and of course broadcasting the old-fashioned way in the Marion area at 107.1 FM. And FM stands for Frequency Modulation, but I say it stands for Fantastic and Marvelous Radio, because that's how we do things. In addition to broadcasting online and on the internet and the old-fashioned way through our radio tower, that's what I wanted to say, I am broadcasting a live Facebook video. You can watch me do the show. How about that? Have you wondered what I look like? Well, you can just go to my video, which you can get via my Facebook page. Look up Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy, and you can watch me do the show. How about that for coolness? And again, even better, give me a call, 740-383-9944. I would just I'd just love to hear from you. I think what I'm going to go ahead and do now, and I always forget to do this. I'm not quite sure why, because maybe I just get so excited about doing the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, is I'm going to go ahead and share my Facebook video with the radio station's Facebook page. Why not, right? I think we should do that. This will allow anybody who is a fan of the Facebook page for WWGH to go ahead and watch me do the show, because it's kind of cool. You can actually hear me do that and watch me, watch my mannerisms as I talk about stuff, as I look at information to talk about on the show. And, of course, I take your telephone calls live in the studio at 740-383-9944. Now, if you didn't already know that, 9944 is WWGH spelled on the phone. And you might ask, well, what does WWGH stand for? Well, W, of course, is the first letter of just about every radio station east of the Mississippi. So you learn some broadcast information here, because I'm kind of a radio geek and kind of cool. But WGH stands for the president who spent a lot of time here, who was a newspaper man, Warren G. Harding. That's what our station call letters stand for, in case you didn't know that. Current time, about 31 minutes after 9 in the AM here in historic and beautiful Marion, Ohio, and anywhere else that is in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Adam Lepp here, taking your calls live on the air with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show at 740-383-WWGH, or again, that's 740-383-9944. Again, you can talk about politics, sports, their influence, how they mix and match with technology. What do you think about how all the tweeting of sports teams and baseball players and hockey players, how that is intertwined? That's what I wanted to say, with how their performance is analyzed by not only sportscasters, but fans. Of course, it's been a very good year for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the only NHL team in Ohio. They're still in it. They're one game away from no longer being in the playoffs, but I think they can pull through. And the arch-rival Pittsburgh Penguins, well, we might send them back to the pond. We can talk about sports and social media, again, about tweeting. One of my favorite players who was with the Reds, and of course now he's with Atlanta, Brandon Phillips, is a big tweeter and Facebooker. I follow him, and again, if you've heard of the show before, you know that I'm not happy that the Reds traded him. I like his tweeting, and I appreciate how he's thanked Reds fans like me, and as far as I'm concerned, he's the best second baseman in history, at least in my lifetime. So the fact that he tweets and interacts with fans, and he's just a cool guy, that I think that's pretty important, and I find it to be something that is a good thing about technology, whereas oftentimes we pay a price, a bad price for technology, and things that happen aren't exactly good, aren't pleasant, and don't really benefit the world. But when an athlete with a good public image tweets and interacts with his or her fans, that's a very positive thing. Coming up after me at the 10 a.m. top of the hour are the 10 a.m. features, which include news and weather from Scott, obituaries. Well, those are done by me. messages, sponsorship information from our valued underwriters and supporters and sponsors, and of course, teasers of shows past, present, and future. And that's the top of every hour. Obituaries are at 8, 10, noon, and 4 every single day. Adam Lepp here with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, talking technology, getting geeky, and discussing how technology influences many of the things in our daily routine. Hopefully you listened to the show last Tuesday. We talked about Google and their virtual reality gadgetry. And of course, if Google is going to do something, obviously Facebook is probably going to do it also. Facebook and Yahoo always seeming to be at loggerheads with Google and what they've got up their sleeve. Facebook, last Tuesday, they must have heard the show because I was talking about Google and spent about 10 minutes on Google and their virtual reality systems. And anyway, Facebook on Tuesday, maybe because they heard the show, who knows, they announced that the beta launch of Facebook Spaces was going to occur. Now, Facebook Spaces is a new app which allows users to connect with friends and colleagues in an interactive virtual reality environment. Facebook Spaces is available for Oculus Rift and Touch at the Oculus Store. Rachel Franklin, she's the head of social virtual reality at Facebook, said, "This app provides a way for social media users to hang out as they might otherwise in person, even bridging great distances. An avatar represents each user in Facebook Spaces. Its appearance is based on the user's photo, but can be further modified with choices of eye color, hairstyle, and facial features that best fit the person's identity. After creating a virtual persona, users can use Messenger to connect with friends, interact in 360-degree spaces, and utilize the app's selfie stick. Goodness sakes, what would life be without a selfie stick? To further manipulate photos in the virtual reality environment." Now, Facebook is not one to shy away from acquiring its rivals and similar program services. They've acquired Instagram, as you know, and they acquired Oculus virtual reality in 2014 for what was reported to be $2 billion. That must be nice to have $2 billion. Write them a check and you own Oculus. Now, the deal included $400 million in cash, along with $23.1 million in Facebook shares. Another $300 million would be added if and when a certain milestones were hit. Now, Facebook hinted at how it might socialize virtual reality in a demo at last year's F8 developer conference. Two employees engaged in a virtual space, even though they were 30 miles apart. Now, with this week's beta launch, this technology is open to anybody with an Oculus Rift. It's the proof of concept right now, according to an expert, Michael Inouye. Now, Facebook Spaces is not exactly ready for the mainstream yet. Michael Inouye said it's still expensive to get into the tethered virtual reality space that is required to access Facebook Spaces. The hardware costs a lot more than I can afford, $1,000. But you also need a computer to run it. If you don't already have a computer, and a lot of people are ditching their computer for a tablet or their phone. So it's still very much a beta and experimental technology. Stephanie Yamas, we've quoted her before, analyst for virtual reality technology at Super Data Research, said, "The most interesting thing about Facebook Spaces right now is the real-world virtual reality integration. There isn't a big enough virtual reality install base, particularly on the Oculus Rift, for multiplayer or social applications to make sense on its own. Allowing people to connect inside and outside of a headset is key. And this also helps reach people beyond the guarded Oculus ecosystem and sparks the curiosity of a wider audience." Now, there are many issues that will need to be addressed before Facebook Spaces can offer a true virtual reality experience. And that's why it's now in beta. Again, it'll cost you about $1,000 plus a computer if you don't already have one. But again, it's pretty exciting, so it might be worth the investment, at least for people that have some spare money lying around. That wouldn't include me. Stephanie Yamas, again, our expert, said one significant problem is the barrier to entry on the virtual reality side, especially as many users may not have many friends who already have bought into the Oculus platform. She said this will really need to work seamlessly and be more than a novelty to encourage people to come back. Otherwise, curious users will log on once or twice and then go back to regular Facebook, something they're already comfortable with, and they can quickly open on all their devices. In addition, there still needs to be better eye tracking and better tracking of movement, which would make this more immersing. So Facebook having some virtual reality up their sleeve, kind of expensive right now and in beta, still in a testing phase, but you can't fault them for all the great innovation that they have their hands in. Adam here, the computer guy, with my twice weekly radio show on The Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. And broadcasting online all over the world by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. After the 10 a.m. features today, it is Charlie Evers, the Charlie Evers Show, sponsored by Fahey Bank. Now, this gentleman has been in radio in Marion for 50, 60, 70 years at least. He is a walking encyclopedia of anything and everything related to Mid-Ohio. So he talks about, again, politics, about the weather, wildlife. He often has guests and local issues, what have you. He can pretty much talk about almost anything. Give him a call at 740-383-9944. And again, he also gives away prizes, be they food, tickets to local and regional events, and again, always a surprise or two. Pretty much anything that we do here at WWGH involves a surprise, because that's part of the fun of talk radio. 40 minutes after 9, 20 minutes before 10 in the a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, right here at the radio station. Taking a look at some more news and views from the world of technology. Again, feel free to chime in. I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-WWGH, that's 740-383-9944. Talk about any technology topic of your choice, and the phone lines are open. Give me a call. Don't be shy. I won't bite. What's going on at Apple? We've been talking about Google and Facebook and, of course, our president. What about Apple? What are they doing? Well, they are reportedly testing a premium iPhone with a revamped display and body, which could be one of three new models that they are expected to launch this fall. The other two will likely be upgrades to the two existing iPhones. The new design will incorporate curved glass and stainless steel. It will increase the surface area of the display without increasing the size of the phone. Kevin Kruel, principal analyst at Turios Research, an expert we quote fairly often, said the three-phone rumor has been a consistent rumor over time. That's why I believe it to be what Apple is planning. Now, introducing a trio of iPhones instead of the typical two makes sense. That's according to Charles King from Pundit, someone else we quote often who knows about this kind of stuff. He said that's especially true when you consider that this is the 10th anniversary of the iPhone and the continuing criticism heaped on Apple for lack of innovation. Now, the new top-of-the-line model would cost more than $1,000. That leaves me out. Giving a smartphone a bigger screen without it increasing the overall device size has some design advantages, as competitors to Apple have discovered. Ross Rubin from Reticle Research, a lot of R's there, but he's a smart dude. He said the taller, longer form factor that Samsung and LG have adopted creates an edge-to-edge display on the left and right sides of the device. There's a strong case for it from a design perspective. It allows you to get a larger diagonal screen while making the phone easier to hold. While Samsung is going to a bezel-less display in its latest model, Apple is probably going to do that also. Kind of the latest and greatest, no bezels. Makes it more sleek and possibly more durable, as pretty much everybody I know that has an iPhone, the phone gets cracked. The screen is cracked and it's expensive to fix and you kind of just live with it. According to Tim Bajarin from Creative Strategies, another expert, it would make sense for Apple to streamline the design and give users more working space with a bezel-less screen. There's somebody at our door. Well, that's interesting. See, we're right underneath the Beltone Hearing Aid Center at 559 East Center Street in Marion. And it's not trick-or-treat, and so I'm not quite sure who it might be. And so since I'm on the air, I can't really answer the door. Our managers, and they have their own key. Scott comes in shortly. He's got his own key. So I'm not sure who's knocking at the door, but whoever you are, hopefully you listen to the station. And if you do, you're a pretty cool person. Anyway, getting back to our show. That's part of the fun of being in live radio. You never quite know what's going to happen. The premium iPhone, again, the most expensive model coming out this fall will be $1,000. But the premium iPhone coming out this fall will have an OLED display. Now, an OLED display is the latest and greatest. It's brighter, more flexible, and uses less power than the conventional LED screen. Our expert from Tyrios Research, Kevin Kruel, said Apple would like to use OLED across the lineup, but has had trouble sourcing enough OLED screens to do so. But it's the right choice for the premium model. Use of stainless steel, although presenting some challenges, would also be a good choice for a premium model. Stainless steel is a material that Apple has continued to develop expertise in with its watch, so stainless may be justified in a premium edition of the iPhone. Stainless steel is more rigid than aluminum, which is used on the current iPhones, and harder to mill, so it could be challenging to Apple's suppliers. Steel also weighs more than aluminum, so it must be used more sparingly to keep the phone light. Also, significant camera changes are in the works for the premium iPhone. For example, Apple is experimenting with placing the dual cameras in the phone horizontally instead of vertically, as they are in the iPhone Plus. The design change could result in better photos. Apple also may add dual cameras to the front of the phone as well as to the back. One thing Apple, though, has not been able to get rid of yet is the famous bump created by the rear-facing camera. Apple's kind of got its own baby bump. Anyway, Andreas Scherer from Salto Partners said, "It's likely that Apple is going to push the camera envelope with the new iPhones. The market expects improved dual lenses and potentially augmented reality-based features as well as depth of field enhancement. There is a plethora," I always like that word, plethora, "of photo editing software in the App Store that allows the editing of pictures on a near-professional level. As a result, Apple will continue to take market share from camera manufacturers of point-and-click cameras and entry-level DSLRs. Another rumor is the replacement of the home button at the bottom of the iPhone with a virtual button on the screen. It's a design necessity if you're going to create a phone with a high display-to-surface ratio. A soft home button requires careful application of fingerprint sensors in or under the OLED screen, according to Kevin Kruel, the expert we've been quoting. He said that's very cutting-edge technology and a hard manufacturing challenge, but Apple likes to push the envelope for a cleaner look. So, with this 10th anniversary premium iPhone costing as much as $1,000, can Apple hit the jackpot? What do you think? David McQueen from ABI Research said it's becoming more difficult to differentiate in the smartphone market. While Samsung has beaten Apple to the punch with many new features, it seems Apple will be adding most of them to its new lineup also, as well as support for Apple Pencil and an enhanced version of Siri. Charles King said Apple's inability to hit a home run with past iPhone products has allowed Samsung and others to catch up. It's not clear to me whether the company's focus on nominal iPhone upgrades and improvements is a system issue or suggests that we're reaching the limits of smartphone capabilities. The upcoming iPhones should help answer that question. So what do you think? Would you spend $1,000 for the latest and greatest in iPhones? Do you think these new features from Apple, the OLED screen, maybe a change in the metal that's used for the phone body, of course, improved cameras, improved Siri? What do you think about that? Are you an iPhone user, or like me, are you a Android user? There are definitely good and bad things to say about both types of devices. Give me a call here at the studio, 740-383-9944. Or again, leave a message, a note on our Facebook page, or watch our live video of me doing the show, either at the radio station Facebook page or on my personal Facebook page for Adam Leppin, Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy. Time here at the station, 10 minutes before 10 in the a.m. on a beautiful Thursday morning. It is 4:20. A date that has some significance for people, especially those, let's say, in Colorado. 3 months exactly to the day that the Donald became the president. If you want to talk politics, and again, the influence of politics on technology, that's always a popular topic. 740-383-9944. I'd love to hear from you. Well, what is Facebook up to? They've always got a few things up their sleeve. They would like to make passwords obsolete. Facebook's F8 Developer Conference, which took place earlier this month, brought the launch of the beta version of Delegated Account Recovery, a way for the social networks to be the backup security key in case you forget your password on different services that are not part of Facebook. So a lot of mumbo jumbo there. What does that mean? If you forget your password on a website or a mobile app, it will instead use Facebook to verify who you are and who you say you are. You'll have to prove yourself through exercises like recognizing friends' photos in order to log into the other account. So forget your password. Seems like everybody forgets a password to their credit card login or something else that's important, always at the most inopportune time. If you forget the password, you can go ahead to Facebook and by kind of getting a little virtual online interview of yourself, maybe recognizing your friends' photos or life events of your own or your friends, you'll be able to get access to the website or app whose password you forgot. That could be interesting, but also I think it gives Facebook an opportunity to spy on you, but they do that anyway, so, you know, what the hey. Facebook security engineer Brad Hill told CNN, "We want to make sure we can let you use identifying information to keep yourself secure, but not have to trade your privacy. Right now, you tell your mother's maiden name to 500 different places, and if any one of them gets hacked, then you are vulnerable everywhere." So think about the last time you forgot your password, and If you're a friend of mine, that probably was yesterday. The website that you forgot the password for, say maybe something like Craigslist or eBay or PayPal or your bank, somewhere else that you log into. Maybe you get Kroger Rewards and You can get all kinds of good stuff, coupons, free stuff that you can download coupons for on Friday, etc. So you forgot your password, right, for an app or a website. What they did is they probably sent a link to your email to reset the password, or they texted a code to your mobile phone. You might have answered security questions like your mother's maiden name, your first boyfriend or girlfriend, your pet's name, where you want to visit, or maybe even your favorite radio station, which hopefully was this station. Anyway, people might be skeptical about trusting Facebook with other accounts. Now they know everything about you, and they use your information to advertise to you. Facebook takes your preferences, as you know, and they use that to provide ads. And so, yeah, Big Brother, certainly. If your Facebook account is hacked, another risk, the bad guys can log into your other accounts that way. So again, there certainly are many sides to this puzzle. Now, Facebook has safeguards in place to recognize fraudulent activity and will alert you if anything seems to be not on the up and up. And that comes from Facebook security engineer Brad Hill. He told that to CNN. And again, do I believe him? Well, I partially believe him, but I'm not sure that there aren't some backdoors or other ways for people to do things that they shouldn't be doing. For example, Facebook knows that you log in with your iPhone in California. And so if someone logs in with an Android in a different country, that might arouse, that might provide some suspicion. Facebook also limits how many third-party accounts can be recovered at one time, and the company will not know the details of those other accounts. So, for example, say that you use Facebook as your backup code for logging into your bank. Facebook will know that you use the bank's services, but it doesn't know anything about your bank account. And again, do you believe that? Do you think that Facebook, I don't think they have ulterior motives. I think that they actually do provide this as a benefit, but also, of course, provides that people will use Facebook more because now it's also a way to recover passwords from apps and websites. So, again, many sides of this issue. Now, in order to use this new feature, a developer must apply with Facebook. They're open sourcing the technology, so eventually any company can use it. So that is, even if you don't trust Facebook with your identity, you might trust another organization that implements the tool. And again, it's called Delegated Account Recovery. So again, maybe you forget the password to log into your bank or to Craigslist or your favorite dating app. Well, you could go to Facebook and they'll ask you questions about yourself and your friends. And if the answers are right, you'll be able to log into the other site. So again, a little bit of Big Brother, but it could be helpful, especially since passwords always seem to be forgotten at the most inopportune time. Delegated account responsibility doesn't at this point replace passwords, but it's a stepping stone, according to the experts, in Facebook's efforts to improve and eventually replace the security mechanisms that we are currently using. Google. Of course, Google and Facebook are constantly trying to do what the other one is doing, and we've talked about virtual reality. Google, we talked about theirs on Tuesday. We talked about Facebook's earlier in the show. Google is also working on products to get rid of the password. They support YubiKey, and that's a physical key that you plug into your computer that acts like a password. Facebook's account recovery feature will also benefit people just beginning to use the internet who may have a Facebook account, but not an email account or maybe not even a phone number. People in emerging markets might get accustomed to using social identities as a login authenticator instead of the assortment of letters and numbers that we use today as passwords. So again, Facebook having a security feature allowing you to get access to accounts that you can't get the password for, even if they're not Facebook. I would say the good outweighs the bad because, as I said, you always forget your password when you most need it. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice weekly radio show on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, broadcasting in the Marion area. And by the power and magic of the internet, you can listen to us anywhere in the world by going to our website at WWGH1071.com, or If you have a smartphone, be smart. Use the TuneIn app, which is a great way to tune in. Search for it in your App Store, Google Play Store, and then look for WWGH 107.1. Make it a favorite, bookmark it, and then you can listen on demand by clicking on, as I say, the little triangle thingy to hear our station. And this show is being broadcast live on Facebook video, both on my Facebook page for Adam Leppin, Ohio. If you're not already a friend, please become one. Or the website for the radio station, our Facebook. Of course, you can get that link off the website, WWGH in Marion. Thank you to the assortment of friends and business associates who've been watching my video. Always appreciated. I generally broadcast a live video of my Thursday show. In about a minute and 30 seconds, I have some bad news for you. The Adam the Computer Guy radio show will be coming to an end. But don't despair, because coming up at 10 o'clock, we have news and features, news and weather, with our very own Scott Spears, obituaries, which are voiced and produced by yours truly, messages from our valued sponsors, underwriters, and supporters, and last but not least, teasers of past, present, and future shows. And then coming up at 10 o'clock, right after the 10 o'clock features, about 12, 13 minutes after 10, is the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show. And again, Charlie Evers has been in radio for several hundred years, I do believe. He is a walking encyclopedia of anything and everything related to the Marion and Mid-Ohio area. And best of all, this gentleman gives away prizes, be it food, event tickets, and always a surprise or two. Again, no show on WWGH would be a WWGH show if there wasn't a surprise or two. It's a beautiful day outside. Enjoy this beautiful Thursday, April 20th. I'll talk to you again on Tuesday at about 10, 12 minutes after 9, my goodness, in the a.m., like we do every Tuesday. Have a great day. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.